I'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, Vine Grove Baptist Church, for our Sunday evening Bible study. Hope and pray you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Brother Randy Kidder, lead us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, to bless each of us as we're here tonight to hear your word proclaimed. Father, open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word. And Lord, may we truly take from this place tonight your truth in our hearts and share it with those who have need. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tonight I want us to look at something that is going on throughout the world when it comes to Christians. But I want us to look at why. And you'll notice my sign that I have. I did not realize I hurt somebody's feelings with that one time. They must not have been any of you all. You all, you know, you're just like the pastor. Those feelings are gone. But it was an idea of, I had it right outside my church door, the no whining sign that you all will see that is there, that one. The no whining sign, I had it right outside the door. And some lady had, it bothered her. She said, "Oh, well, I don't guess I need to talk to you about anything then." And I thought, that's not what that says. No whining is simple. No whining. So tonight I'm going to teach on it and see why that you and I do not have the right to whine. But whining drives me completely crazy. She was, I guess she had every intention there was to whine. But Christians, physical, verbal, emotional abuse against Christians, it's evil. And it goes against Christians throughout the world. But what's going on with it? What is exactly going on with us today and throughout the world today is because you are Christian. That means you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we should rejoice at the fact that people despise us because we're Christian, because we promote the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to Luke 6, 22 and 23. Jesus says it this way: "Blessed are you when men hate you." Well, now, see, normally when people hate you, you don't feel blessed. But Jesus is saying you are blessed when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how how their fathers treated the prophets. Meaning, it is nothing new. Therefore, the picture: no whining. No whining. People are going to reject you. Accept it. Expect it. But for goodness sakes, please don't whine. You know, oh, they hurt my feelings. They said that I was a goody two-shoes. I have. Of all the things I've been called, Gene Shovel, I've never been called a goody two-shoes.
If you fuss about the rain and the bad weather, is that whining?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Get that out of my
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't change the weather.
No.
You accept it, and just remember this: there were a lot of clouds that hung over Jesus' head. And if it happened to him and you are part of his family, then you are going to be treated the same way. So when I say no whining, I'm talking about be joyous in the fact that people recognize you're different. Well, okay. Yep, people, I'm different. You all agree with that. I am different. Oh, watch it. I am different. Yes. Each one of us are individuals. Come on in, hon. And each one of us are different. And God said, I like it that way. I've chosen to make you different. I've made sure that you're just a little odd. Some are more odd than others. But I made you just a tad odd. Now, who determines when another person is odd? It's when they don't act the way that you do. That's all you've got to look to, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, no, I mean, you're living in your own little world here. And in your own little world, you see, this is good and this is bad. And if somebody else looks at it and they don't see this is good and this is bad, then they're probably not my friend. That's not a fact. The fact is that you are friends with fellow Christians based on who Jesus is, not on everybody, your own idiosyncrasies or someone else's. All of us have some tendencies to go our own way. Did I say that politely enough? Yeah. And Jesus said, that's okay. Because did you know that he says there's only one way and I'm the way, but each one of you are going to be traveling in different ways. One Christ, different ministries, going in all different directions. If everybody goes in the same direction, you're going to have half the world or three-fourths of the world and never hear the word of God because everybody's going to one place. Well, I'm going over there because that's where my fellow Christians are going. Well, according to Christ, he was condemned because he was different. He even spoke different. And people noticed it. Well, he doesn't speak like all the other prophets or teachers do. He's different. What was the difference? He speaks with authority. Meaning, like, he's got an inside track. He knows God the Father. And he speaks as though he knows God the Father. You and I as Christians, if we're whining about every insult that somebody throws at us, then we're not going to represent Christ. We're going to represent our poor little humble broken heart because you said boo to me. Now, I've never wanted anybody to say boo to me, but you said boo to me and you hurt my feelings. Well, pastors realize something pretty quickly in the ministry. You do not have a right to have feelings. You do not have a right to have your feelings hurt. Because you're different. And man, are we ever different.
What are you whining about?
So quit whining about it, right, Larry? That's right. Don't whine about it. Here we go. King David. Now, King David, in the Psalms, he is telling exactly what's getting ready to happen to Jesus to come. The very Jesus that's going to rule on the throne of David at the end of the ages. Jesus is going to rule on the throne of King David. David is prophesying about this. But David is prophesying about the feelings of Christ during his walk to the cross, during the time period of his ministry. David's telling about it. Isaiah was telling about it. This is what's going to be happening. Now, during the New Testament period, the New Testament scholars and all realized something. Everything that is going on today was prophesied. This was during the first church age, during the church age, beginning of it. then they're noticing, wait a minute, the prophet said this was going to happen. And who would have thought it? It's really happening. Christians think it. Therefore, Christians ought to know and be aware that if they talked about Jesus and said all of these things about him, you should rejoice that they're going to compare you to Jesus. Now, are you getting my point on this? You be thankful that somebody has counted you in their eyes. You're not worthy. You're unworthy. But in God's eyes, you are worthy to be mistreated on all manner of evil set against you because you lift the name of his son. Now you tell me that ain't going to be an exciting homecoming. You recognize Jesus. Jesus said, you recognize me to your fellow man. I'll recognize you to my Father who is in heaven. Number one, don't whine about aggravation. You ever had somebody to aggravate you besides pastor? Think of it. To aggravate is to make a condition worse. Did you ever aggravate somebody? I got my first mohawk. Hey, I was the king of Buffalo Hill. Because I had a mohawk and nobody else had a mohawk because nobody else wanted a mohawk. But I had the mohawk haircut. And I felt good about it. It was different, but it was okay. Because my mama 50 cents for that haircut. I did hear about that. But I was different. And to look back today, I wasn't different. Each one of us are unique. Each person is unique. Renee, you're really unique. You are, oh gosh. And each one of us have that uniqueness. You know why? Because Jesus created us to be unique. Unique in such a way that people are going to aggravate us because we promote Christ. Psalm 102 verse 8. My enemies taunt me day after day. They mock and they curse me. Remember what was going on with Jesus during the crucifixion? Remember all of this stuff that was going on? Well, it started 3 years sooner. During Jesus' whole ministry, all of this stuff took place. Always against him. Why? Because he was different. He was different. And when he stood up to speak, they understood that difference. So they would aggravate or taunt him day and night, mocked him and cursed him. Number two, intimidation comes to make fearful. Do you realize how foolish it was of them, we do now looking back, to attempt to intimidate Jesus, God incarnate? Have you ever thought about how much love Jesus had for the human race that he allowed it to go on? You know, he wouldn't have had to say it a word. He wouldn't even have had to think it. All he would have had to have done was look at them, and they'd have been dead. But he loved those who tormented him to the point that he wanted them to repent and to know the truth. They were tormenting him because they didn't know him. The people who torment Christians today, they torment Christians because they don't know anything about Christ. They know the same Savior that you and I know. Therefore, I can't expect them to think like I think when it comes to God's Word. Because they just are the blind leading the blind. Going down the bad path. But they would intimidate. Psalm 109:20. They tell lies about me and threaten me. Now, I know all of you all well enough to know I would feel sorry for the individual that would ever attempt to intimidate you. Because you all are not a group of people that are going to be intimidated very readily. You neither, Gene Chapel. You're not going to be intimidated. Why? Because you are on a solid foundation and you know it. I'm standing on the word and the promises of Christ. Therefore, your words have no authority over me. You know, talk to the hand. They don't still do that, do they?
Yep.
Do they? Talk to the hand. I hated that. Yeah, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, talk to the hand. Well, the thing is, if you got trouble and you got a problem with Christ, talk to Jesus. That's okay. You go ahead and you tell him what you're wanting to tell me. But they can't. They don't know him. Do you realize the honor that is bestowed upon us as individual Christians, that we are given permission by God Almighty to speak his name without being found guilty of blasphemy? To bring the name of Jesus and lift it above all other names without being judged about how we did it. God's not going to judge me or you for doing what we feel is right in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? Man will. Well, what are they going to do to you? What are these human beings who are doing all this threatening, what are they going to do? What do their words matter? They strike, though, to the heart of truth. I have Christ in me, therefore I present the truth. And it hurts me hearing people deny the truth. But you can't make somebody serve Jesus. You can't make somebody believe, can you? Gosh, we can't even make people in our own family come to church half the time. Or talk them into it. So we sure can't make somebody believe. What does it? Conviction. Yeah, and now before you come out, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything but tell Jesus on you. But I am going to tell Jesus on you. You know, it's just like, I will tell my daddy, and he can whip your daddy. You know, I will tell Jesus on you in a heartbeat. So the Lord says, stop whining. No, that was your pastor said that. Pastor said, stop whining, because it is an honor to be judged as a Christian. And they're angry with you because you represent Christ. Number three, denigration. To deny value or importance. To denigrate someone. Psalm 22:7. This is King David. They make fun of me and they ridicule me. Make fun of me, and they ridicule me. Well, I can't remember when I made that statement this morning. I'll probably hear about it this week when I said I didn't like going to school. But I love learning. I didn't have any trouble learning. But it was the humiliation of going. I guess it was, when you got holding your britches up with a grass string. And the hand-me-downs from your brother who's twice as tall as you are at that age and all of that. Maybe that was it. You get embarrassed as a kid. But no, I didn't like any of that stuff. Then I moved to E-Town and got in there with the big uppity-up dudes. And it was worse. I'd have been better off back in Buffalo with grass string in my britches. But it got worse. So no, I did not have a good relationship in school. I did not have a good feeling. But it wasn't because of the education. It was because of people. Yep. What's going to pull you down more than anything? It's not taking the test. You know, I didn't. Best feeling I ever had in school, I'll tell you this. Best feeling I ever had in school was in my sophomore year, I think it was. But, you know, it finally dawned on me. Vance, you can do this. Well, I knew that I could. I just didn't want to. But the best thing that happened to me was, as soon as I really buckled down and started studying, the girls wanted to copy off of me. Now, I mean to tell you that you want to get a boy studying harder? Have the girls say, can I copy off you? I mean, that was such an honor to get to do that, you know, that somebody thought that. So, no, Faye wasn't there. I would have let her. She wouldn't have had to ask. I would have let her. Number four. She was a banker, so she, you know, I'd want to work. Number four is humiliation. To make someone feel foolish or ashamed. I hate that. And I've seen that done to children. And it really, really hurts me when I see that. What's the matter? Your mama can't afford better clothes than that? Actually, no, she couldn't. Couldn't afford anything. But other kids doing it. It was done to Jesus. Therefore, if I know just having to grow up among other kids, kids are mean to each other. They're vicious with each other. And growing up in the, you know, knowing that, and then seeing it in Christianity. And it ought not be. It ought not be within the church. But other fellow Christians criticize other Christians and humiliate other Christians. That ought not be. The world out there, I'm telling you, don't be whining about them coming at you, because count it as a badge of courage and honor that they are, because you know Jesus. And if Jesus went through it, and he suffered for you, he conquered it for you and me, then quit whining about it. Just take it and keep going. Humiliation to make someone feel foolish or ashamed. Psalm 69:19. I have been insulted, put to shame, and humiliated. That's what they did to Jesus. Insulted, put to shame, and humiliated. Now, when King David is, when he's saying this stuff, I want you to picture this. He's talking about the human condition. Stick with me on this. Jesus is in human form, God incarnate in human form to conquer the human condition. Therefore, he had to suffer anything and everything you or I would ever suffer in order to conquer it for us. This is what he was doing. So he had to be able to feel that feeling. He had to be able to feel humiliation to know what you and I feel like when we're humiliated. You got that? Any questions on that? But Jesus said, I'll take it. Because I have to know how you feel. And every emotion, think of this greatness again, why we don't need to be whining. Think of this. Jesus didn't just feel the feeling of humiliation generically. He had to feel the humiliation that would come to each human being that would ever be born. He had to feel the pain from each human being that was ever born. Why? Because every one of us are different. We're all unique. Therefore, he had to deal with that uniqueness. Your uniqueness. I'm telling you, you heard me say this morning, there's a scar on Jesus, got my name on it. That blood on that cross, got my name on it. That's how personal Jesus is to us. And we need to understand that and accept that. That Jesus says, I'm taking this for you. But you know what he does? Have you noticed as older in Christ, I'm talking about, as we grow in Christ, the words of man start bouncing off of us, especially if we quit whining. The words of man start bouncing off. And the love of Christ comes into your heart to the point that I'm not angry with that individual anymore. I want to see them saved. I want to see them saved. And when they're saved, I know what they were trying to do to me, they're not going to do to somebody else. When they know Jesus, they're going to stop that foolishness. And it's going to give the power to those who have no power. It's the reason I tell adults all the time, you better watch after those children because Jesus sure is. Number five, manipulation. You ever been manipulated? Brother Larry, I just thank the world of you. I got a 12-acre field over there that needs to mowing, too. And I know you got a tractor and a finishing mower on it. And I just thank the world of you. Unless you tell me you're not going to mow it. And I'm not going to think so highly of you. That goes off my back, too. I helped Paula out one time and tore a tractor up. Yep. Never helped her again. Brother Larry, can you bring a tractor over and cut in? Nope, I ain't getting in that field again. Absolutely not. Yep, it just broke a shaft and everything else. And I thought, what have you got in that field? And she was growing rocks, wasn't she? Yep, big old boulders and stumps and everything else. Okay, manipulation to cause harm gradually. Psalm 73:8, using words to kill. Words hurt. Yeah. Folks, they hurt. Larry, you're a jerk. All that, but see, that don't hurt me because I know I'm a jerk. But, you know, when you get like that. But words do hurt, Gene. They you can hurt people with just words. To cause harm gradually. Boy, it does, doesn't it? Gradual harm caused, but it's a continual, gradual mold of the manipulation to cause harm. Using words to kill, they bully their way with words.
You can't take it back either.
No. Wait, he wouldn't sleep over. I'm sorry, Paula. Go ahead.
He needs coffee. That's like when you're have children and you might teasingly say something, but never, they don't know that you're teasing, and
yes,
they take it to heart.
Yes.
It does gradually do harm to them.
Yes. Yeah. Time. Yes. And a lot of times you don't even realize you've done it. Then sometimes you do. That's called human nature. You know, when you hurt, you want other people around you to hurt. Misery loves company. You remember that one?
Yeah.
It does. In the prison system, I remember that with the inmates. Misery loves company. And you get a bunch of miserable people in one place, and they have their own little family get-together. But you ought to hear them talk. Every one of them telling all the stories of life of how somebody else caused them to be where they are. Never accepting responsibility for themselves. To manipulate someone. Well, there was a member of my family who would do that with my mother. Manipulate her. If you don't give me the money, I'll go out and steal it. And then what are you going to say to people when I'm caught for stealing? You know what I would have said. Yeah. So you give me the money or I'm going to go do it, and it's going to look bad on you in the community. And she would do it. She would do it because she didn't do it. What? It is. The lid is on the water. Okay. Did you have something to say, Renee?
I'd tell them go ahead and steal it because I'll call the cops while you're doing it and have you get in jail. I would have.
Now, see? God said all of you are special. And Renee is a special personality up here. No, and then that sounds like something that I would say. Go ahead. I'll have the police here by the time you're getting ready to go out. But we love. Have you ever gotten to the point to where, you know, you've tried to lead in the right direction. Nobody wants to go in the right direction. And you get to a point in your life to where you say, fine, do you all just go do what you want to do? And I'll suffer it from here. Well, I got news for you. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. You might as well say it right up front. But God always works it out. You know why? Because he went through it. That's why we can't whine. Jesus said, I've already gone through it. So therefore, don't whine about it. They try to manipulate Jesus. Remember how many times the Pharisees tried to trick him? What should we render unto Caesar? There you go. That's what Jesus told them. That just made them so mad. So what in the world is he doing? We can't even fight that kind of act. Why? Because they were in a battle with God. God incarnate in Jesus Christ. And Jesus was doing something. He was conquering all of these situations for you and me. Remember, he's ushering in the church age, the most blessed of all ages that will ever exist is the church age. And he's ushering it in, and he's letting us know, I'm taking it for you. I got you. Number six, domination, force supremacy over another, to dominate over someone else. Well, I see it in families. I see it in a workplace to dominate. Somebody is to step up from another individual and they will dominate over that individual. Force supremacy over another. If you have to force who you are on someone else, you're not much. If you have to force who you are on someone else, you're not much. People need to be able to look at us and say this. I want to know that Jesus, you know. You're smiling in the middle of adversity. How do I get to be able to do that? You're laughing at death. How can I get to the point to where I can laugh at death? How can I know the Jesus you know? See, that's what the Christian walk is about. That's witnessing. Not me knocking on a door. Not me taking a Bible and threatening to beat them upside the head if they didn't accept Jesus. None of that. It's when they see Jesus in you, because you're happy right in the midst of everything that's unhappy. You're not whining. Well, you know, they ought to be whining. Oh, they can't whine. They came from Vine Grove Baptist Church. Pastor got a big sign up there that says no whining. We don't have time for the whining because Jesus has already conquered it. Okay, let's look at it. To cause harm, domination. Psalm 118:13. They push hard to make me fall. They push hard to make me fall. You know, it's amazing how people enjoy watching other people have bad things go on in their life. They push hard to make me fall. Well, it was a country parson's, the closest some people come to thanking God is when somebody else's misfortune didn't happen to them. Thank God that didn't happen to me. That's the closest some people will ever come to thanking God, when somebody else's misfortune didn't happen to them.
I say, but for the love of God, I would be in.
That's right. Pure grace, Gene. Pure grace of God, isn't it? Therefore, when people push hard on you, and I know this is difficult, your pastor has a very hard time with this because I'm not much on being pushed. But here's what we need to look at. When someone's pushing hard to make you fall, that means they've already fallen. They've already fallen. And it's up to us as Christians to reach a hand down, to lift them up, to reach a hand of help down, to say, can I help you, to lift them up. Interesting, isn't it, how Jesus went through all of this? Yes, it is hard. Very hard. Very hard to do. Yes, ma'am. Number 7, defamation, defaming. To lie, to defame another. Psalm 31:13. They spread rumors about me and conspire against me. Think of that. Count it as a badge of honor when people do that to you in the name of Christ because you're a Christian. They did it to Jesus. I do not remember anywhere in Scripture where Jesus whined. Anybody? Any Scripture tell you where Jesus was whining? Jesus wept. Who do you weep over? That's right. Wept over us. He wept over us not trusting him. Remember what it was about when he was weeping? Jesus wept 2 times that you will see. Jesus was weeping after Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha, dear friends with him, very the closest of friends. Mary and Martha made the statement, Jesus, had you been here, our brother would not have died. Oh, don't you all realize? Yes, he was. Don't you realize? There's a reason for everything. Lazarus will live again. And then Mary says, yes, Lord. We know that at the resurrection. And he looked at both of them and he said, don't you all realize that I am the resurrection and the life? Where is he buried? Take me to him. Lord! Surely he stinketh. He been dead 4 days. Yes. And so they go. And Jesus calls Lazarus forth. When he gets to the tomb, though, you have the Scripture, and Jesus wept. You know, so often I look at that and I think, is he weeping because he's having to bring Lazarus back? You know, Lazarus had it pretty good being in the arms of Jesus. You know that? Yes, but he's got to come back. And then he got to die all over again. Think of that. Or was he weeping because they didn't trust him? After all he had showed them, they still had distrust. Anyway, it was resurrection time. And he brought him back anyway. Number 8, condemnation, to criticize unjustly. Psalm 35:16. They mock me with the worst kind of profanity and snarl at me. Snarl. Can you snarl? I've seen you do it, Renee. They snarl at me. Yes, you can't you, Larry? They snarl at me, So Jesus then is taking on all those looks, realizing that you and I are going to get them through life. People are going to snarl at you. Dwayne? Yep, they're going to snarl at you, son. By the time you start talking about Jesus on that bus, somebody is snarling. Yeah. Or Dwayne, they were afraid you're going to put them off the bus. But that's the point about the Christian walk. The Christian walk, you be ready and willing to stand strong for the belief that Christ has placed in your heart. You be ready and willing to do that. They mock me with the worst kind of profanity and snarl at me. And what Jesus was saying to us, fine. They did it to me, quit whining about it. For us to go on and live a life that Christ put in place for us as individual personalities. Be who God created you to be and don't try to be somebody else because you're going to fail miserably at that. Be who you are because who you are is the best. I know because God created you that way. He created you with that personality, with that heart, with that mind, and He created you with purpose. Yes, ma'am.
No, just think of the humiliation that He took pulling that cross.
Oh, yes.
You know,
and falling.
Beating
yes.
Him all the time.
Yes, yes.
It just, it,
yes.
It just, you can't imagine.
No, and He did it for me and you.
That's right.
Got our name. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed week.